Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You control 603-283-6160. That's the phone number for you to call to bring up whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Matt,
and Nikki.
And I just want to go right into the phones, but tonight we're going to be talking about many different things, including the UK to make cigarettes completely illegal. Soon.
Is that right?
They want to.
They just want people to vape instead.
I wonder if they will make vapes illegal also. But we have Dave Ridley on the line. Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. RidleyReport.com. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to kind of give you my experience from the Ian Simpson thing.
Okay.
Hopefully I have some ideas that other people haven't thought of. I guess I got there about 8:30, and the event was scheduled, the sentencing was at 10 a.m. What was interesting was there was an unusually large number of federal people just kind of outside, popping in and out of their cars and stuff like that, security and whatnot. I did give me a chance to ambush interview probably 10 feds.
You did?
Over about a 1 hour period.
That's great. Did any of them talk to you? Or did sort of. They?
Are any of them capable of speech?
Yes, and some of them had nice demeanor, and others were kind of dismissive. And I guess I was able to complete my first ambush interview of an FBI agent.
Yeah, that's like a bucket list item.
Well,
Which one?
It's a bucket list. It's probably not real good for my health, but it's been completed now. I'm sorry, what?
Do you know the name?
No, I didn't get his name. I didn't know he was FBI until after he went in. I'm not positive that he was FBI. It's just that his car said that he was FBI.
Okay. Well, So that was going to be up on RidleyReport.com on Odyssey and Rumble?
Odyssey and BitChute.
BitChute, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still processing the video. I shot a whole lot of video this week, and it's getting complicated. I got pulled over on the way to the court, and that's interesting what happened there, too. But I guess the other thing was, turnout was 80, is that correct?
I just kind of guessed that. Somebody else said 100. It seemed like it was definitely less than the first sentencing hearing to me, but not by a lot. The first sentencing hearing had definitely over 100. So I just kind of guessed.
There's a lot of people there.
Yeah, I couldn't. I would gauge it at about the same, maybe even more. I'm bad at that, though. I'm bad at, how many jelly beans is in this jar? I'm not good at that sort of thing. And I also did not take a head count.
Yeah, this time I didn't. Last time I did. So I don't know. I don't really know.
But it was a great turnout, though. And I was kind of, I didn't know how that would go. Because it got postponed 2 weeks, sometimes people are like, I already showed up the first time. So it was nice to see some of the same faces, some new faces were there. So, maybe people who wanted to go, that it just wasn't on a good day for them. So it was nice.
Yeah, and if the listener doesn't know what we're talking about, I kind of didn't say, but we're talking about Ian Freeman's sentencing hearing where on Monday he got sentenced to 8 years in prison for selling Bitcoin to people who wanted to buy Bitcoin from him and then changed their mind later. He's a host of the show and he's my husband and it's really messed up and we're all really upset about it. And the government has been prosecuting him about this for over 2 years. He's been on an ankle monitor and just other home confinement and being punished before being convicted, and also after being convicted for almost a year before getting sent to jail today. And no, he only gets 69 days credit for the days when he first got arrested in 2021.
Yeah,
he doesn't get any credit for the rest.
Yeah, so and me and Zephin were actually talking about this outside the courthouse, you know, right after the sentencing. You would think, I mean, it would be fair. I mean, if he's on home confinement, he has to, you know, do all of these things. He has a probation officer, all this stuff, right? Like, this is very inconvenient. Shouldn't that count for something?
I would say so.
You know?
Right. But, you know, this the judge, there's going to be a lot of people who say, oh, he you know, did his job, you know, by the book. That judge was biased, and I don't care what anybody says. He was a biased judge.
Right.
He's playing the role. We got to remember.
Well, they all are.
We got to remember that all judges are lawyers.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, you're looking at like a 99.9% chance that lawyer is the same thing as a scumbag.
And he used to be not just any lawyer, but a
prosecutor.
Yeah. Aren't they all?
75% of federal judges come from the prosecution side, not the defense.
Yeah, so that doesn't sound very fair to me.
And I knew this guy. He's an absolute yahoo. I knew that he was biased the second I heard him refer to Ian, talking to Ian, as you people.
That was hard to hear a long time ago, right?
It was quite a while ago. During the trial.
Oh.
He said, you know, I looked up what you people believe.
Wow.
Yeah. You people? So, Ian is you people?
I'm actually going to disagree with you. I think as far as federal judges go, you know, I don't know any personally, really. But I think he was rather fair compared to what it could have been. I'm not saying, you know, obviously, like, they got everything wrong here. You know, I don't think Ian should spend a day in prison, never mind 8 years. But I do think it could have been, like, the sentencing guidelines was, like, over 200 months.
Well, the thing is, the sentencing guidelines are guidelines. He could have smushed. He could have done nothing.
He could have
smashed his gavel and said, time served. Ian, have a good life.
But what judge would have done that? Like, just being realistic here, but I mean, like, this is the state. This is the injustice system of the U.S.
For sure.
Here's why he's biased, Nikki. He had the opportunity to throw out these charges of tax evasion, which the jury found him guilty of after they're supposed to have found without a shadow of a doubt that Ian knew he owed taxes, that any person would assume that they're be able to know that they owed taxes, and the witness went on the stand and said it's very possible, it's 100% possible that he owes nothing. And Ian's lawyer, Sissy Anguerrero, asked him to reconsider throwing those out, and he didn't say a word about them. And then he tells them, oh, it's very unlikely that the appellate judge is going to throw these out. So he's...
I mean, they all, but I said he was biased because every single judge is going to be biased.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
they
work for the state. So, and that's why the whole system is completely unfair because, you know, like all of these people, the cops, the FBI agents, the lawyers, the judge, or the prosecutor, and the judge, they all work for the same team. And obviously, like, we know this. We've been saying this on the show for forever.
Even on the day, Monday, every time person who is speaking for the, including me, myself, anybody who's speaking for the defense started talking, he was like, slow down, in the middle of you talking, just like a way to just like show that he's in charge,
I think the Stina was keeping up with it, especially since it's on like literal audio recording now. I mean, court stenographers aren't under as much pressure as they used to be, but he was still definitely jumping in saying, slow down.
To the defense. He never said it to Georgiana McDonald, who went up there talking like just exactly like I'm talking now. I had to
talk. That's actually a good point. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he did it with David Hathaway too.
Yeah.
He did not Hathaway. He
was so rude to David Hathaway, the sheriff.
Yeah, David Hathaway is a sheriff from Arizona that used to be a DEA agent and has grown to look up to Ian a lot. And Ian's, you know, the ideas that Ian puts across in the show got into David Hathaway's head, and he really liked him. And next thing we know, we have a sheriff in Arizona. It's Arizona, right?
Yep.
That is He's a basically voluntarist.
Yeah, he is. He described himself as one.
He's an absolute great guy.
Yeah,
he's
super nice. Him and his wife, very nice people.
You know, this is a guy who was a federal agent himself and has been in court. And he said this during his speech to the judge. I've been in a lot of federal courtrooms doing exactly this, except on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, and for him to say that, I think he knows what speed to speak at. Like, for him, for Mr. Hathaway, being in that courtroom was not there was nothing nerve-wracking about it. He's been there a ton of times. He's probably the best choice for a person that you could ask for to go speak on his behalf. And the judge still stopped him mid-sentence a couple times.
This judge, he does this weird thing. Everybody who's seen him points out these weird faces he makes the whole time you're talking. And while I was talking to him, he was glaring at me. I was looking right at him, sincerely talking about my husband. And he's, like, looking at me like, if you can't see on the radio right now, well, he's glaring.
Bonnie made a face.
Yeah.
But I noticed that, too. He I don't know if the guy had, like, a nervous twitch or if that was intentional or he just can't contain his feelings. I mean, there's a lot of emotionally unstable people who work for the United States government.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't, when they're doing their psychological profile, I mean, you got to take a psychological profile exam when you get a job at Texas Roadhouse, you know, or you name it. You're working for corporate America. You're getting some kind of, a psychological screening. I swear to God, you're not allowed to have a job with the U.S. government unless you have passed the psychopath test or at least you're missing parts.
I don't see how it's possible that the prosecution wasn't all psychopaths, but...
They're lawyers.
Yeah.
So, I was talking to Hathaway at dinner one night when I first met him. Ian actually told me about it. He said, you should go introduce yourself to that guy. He's really cool. I was like, all right, keep my eyes open for him. And I found him, and I did. And we had the most interesting conversation. And one of the things I said to him was, when it came to the feds actually being in our house, the one thing I could see in all of their eyes is that honesty didn't matter. Achieving justice didn't matter. The only thing that mattered was putting a check mark in their W column.
Yeah, winning.
Yes. They did not care whether what they were doing was right or wrong. They wanted the W, and that was it.
You have to be soulless to do that kind of job.
Completely. Completely. The lead investigator that we had, the red-haired lady, she absolutely, when you look into somebody's eyes and you see that there's nothing in there, that was her. And, at least the IRS guy that was there had, like, a soul, I know, because I hurt his feelings a little bit, I think. But, I mean, that the FBI lady had absolutely no...
I confronted her in court, too. She had this woman that was, like, an intern with her, and she sent her to go sit by our table at lunch. So I sat right behind them in the courtroom to piss her off. Like, what, you don't like people watching you? I don't know. And she went... stormed out of the room and went and got somebody to move me. And I just stood up. I was like, what? You don't like being surveilled? You surveilled my house for 24 hours a day for 3 years. And she just got the most, she was like so angry. She didn't say anything. She was like glared at me. I'm sorry, David. I want to ask you, did you get inside? Did you go inside and watch the proceedings?
I did go in later on. Actually, what I did was I had a bunch of ambush interviews I wanted to do at the State House around 10:30 a.m. So instead of just being another body in there kind of sitting and listening, I went ahead and did that and then came back. So I came back right about the time that I thought Ian would, everyone was gone, probably except Ian, right? Mm-hmm. I thought if I can get in there and just try to see him or at least make sure they know that someone wants to go in and see him in holding, that would be valuable. So I went back in. I guess it would have been around 2 or 3 p.m. He was already gone by that time.
I know that the Hathaways, they had parked towards the back of the building, and they said they were going to go see if they could see him come out, like, and waved him. But I never asked if they actually saw him or asked Ian if he saw them. So
super lovely people.
Yeah. Another thing is, just as a concept, Churchill used to say there's sort of this thing called the Lloyd George phenomenon, where Lloyd George was Prime Minister of England during World War I, and he had this way about him. Every time there'd be some new disaster in World War I, Lloyd George would get gain some sort of military benefit out of it. So he would, like, for instance, when when the Germans broke through during the Ludendorff offensive in 1918, he used that to gain some changes in the Allied structure that enabled him to win the war. Right. So there's like in any conflict, you can take a thing that seems like a disaster and gain something from it. And we just need to be thinking that way. Probably the thing we need to gain from this is a better ability to get the word out about what we're doing. Because really the only thing we need to succeed is for everyone in the world to know that we're here doing this. So really even just 10% of the world to know that we're here doing this, and we get the word out in some peaceable manner, then we win. So we just, I've done some things, I've upgraded my ability to spread information. And I would encourage everyone else, please, if you want to do something about this, do whatever peaceful thing you can think of. But the most useful thing is just to spread the word about what we're doing.
Dave Ridley, this is a perfect opportunity to, I want to know what all your channels and stuff are. What are your social? Where can people find you? Because I want to say, you are the reason that I am in New Hampshire. You, the first thing I saw that was Free State Project, Liberty Migration, relevant on YouTube was the Ridley Report. And it came up totally randomly. And I saw you and some other people doing open carry trash pickup. You were cleaning up a dirty little neighborhood in Manchester, Nashua, or something like that. And I was like, those guys are epic. That is fantastic. And your little reporting, and I remember, your advertisement singing you used to do. Where can people find you now?
Oh, it's just same old. It's RidleyReport.com.
You didn't sing
although
it.
Although I should probably sing it. RidleyReport.com.
Yeah. I love you, Ridley.
So, Ridley, is that all you had to say?
Well, I'll have more later.
Well, thank you. I'll be looking forward to the video.
You know, Dave's talking about the Prime Minister of England during World War One, how he would leverage whatever he could leverage, whenever he could leverage, and it led to their success. I hate trying to say there's a silver lining to my friend and your husband being in prison right now, but the fact is, every time the government puts away a libertarian, they basically just planted a cancer cell in their own body. When you go into a prison and you start teaching the prisoners the real story of how they got their Rich Paul's epic at it. Rich Paul in jail makes, he basically makes, I mean, a lot of the people who are in there, their brains aren't always functioning, but the ones who are like, holy crap, I never really looked at it that way. Next thing you know, you got somebody who's really peed off at the state for a whole different reason than they ever thought of, and it's a way more genuine, honest reason than they ever even thought of before. When you take somebody like Ian Freeman, who is one of the most eloquent people, I don't know if that's even the right word, he's elegant in his thought and his speech, and he is very easy to listen to, and he is very knowledgeable about the topic of freedom. And to take someone like him and put him in a federal prison, oh my God, that's kind of a problem. And I think that's a heck of a silver lining.
Right, not there. Even just the other prisoners that will be around, which is already, pretty cool enough, but just anybody else who's been affected by this at all. Mm-hmm. Their perspective has changed a lot. Like, for example, my sister and my mom. My sister was, standing outside the courthouse crying. I wasn't even crying yet. And I went up and I was, comforting her. And she was, really, really bawling, crying. And later she told me just that image of, 10 police officers rushing up on Ian and handcuffing
him.
It's
terrifying, yeah.
She said it just made her have this extreme feeling of I should be doing something because Ian's always doing something and now he's getting taken away. I feel, she said, I feel guilty that I haven't been doing things and that this is the consequence. And my mom, she said she's sorry that she believed things about him that she read whenever she first found out about him. It's not like I was hiding him, but anyways, that she first believed things that she read when she after the raid, and she started Googling his name. She said she's sorry for that, and that she'll, because of this whole thing, she'll never again believe the media about what they say about people when they're, in trouble with the law. And, it's just two people, but It's just two really good examples. Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing I think of when I think about Ian going to prison is, and this is another silver lining, and I hate to say it, but they probably couldn't have picked a better person for it. And the reason why is I have never, in the all the years I've known Ian, get in trouble with the law, never has he backed off.
Mm.
He has, if there's anybody in the liberty movement that is not going to lay down, I would understand if he did, but it's Ian Freeman. If anybody's going to push something like this to the Supreme Court,
yeah,
it'll be Ian Freeman.
Yeah, I really hope that his appeals win. That would be basically the best. It's kind of funny because that's Ian's idea of the best case scenario. Like,
for sure.
Not,
and it is
just, oh, I hope that they all got dropped before trial and I don't have to go through going to prison. No, his like best case scenario is getting found guilty of money transmitting and then the Supreme Court saying, actually, Bitcoin is not transmitted.
Right.
That's like his number one best scenario. We actually have another caller, Cynthia in California. Cynthia, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I'm wondering if y'all was following the oath of office issue, where the judges in the District of Columbia, most of them do not have a valid oath of office on file. And that means that under the law, assuming we follow the law, the real law, that everything they did is null and void, and they can be sued and prosecuted for impersonating an officer of the court.
I've heard of this before. This is kind of like Jay Noon territory, and I don't know if that would ever work because you got to remember they're working for the same employers and
right. They actually are part of the bar, which is the British Accredited Registry, and under the Constitution, states may not contract or affiliate with foreign entities.
Hmm.
That's right,
and they have. There's a whole lot of constitutional things they're doing wrong, and I tell you, the constitutional movement is starting to gain some steam.
Well, I mean, the constitutional movement's always. I came into the. I'm an anarchist, but I wasn't always. I was actually a confused liberty leaning Republican, and I thought that the Republicans weren't Republican enough for me, so I moved on to the conservative party, which we have in New York, where I'm from, and I've realized that these people are just like extremely religious and want to lock people down in other ways. I'm like, why can't we just get away from the warfare? And somebody said, hey, there's this thing called libertarianism. Check it out. I'm like, oh, that's me.
Mm.
And then I realized even libertarians are trying to prop up the state and
yeah,
keep that thing going. Or that's just a lost cause, you know.
I'm following the work and interpretations of a man who says that police forces, being 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, year after year, are actually a violation of the Constitution because they constitute a standing army.
I agree. They are a uniform standing army. I agree with that. Holy, I've said that before myself.
Thank you for the call, Cynthia. That's anybody else that wants to call in, 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
U.S. USA News update. The late U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein was honored at a funeral service in San Francisco today. Vice President Kamala Harris paid tribute.
She was an American patriot, a giant of the Senate, and a dear friend to Doug and me.
The service took place on the steps of San Francisco City Hall. Feinstein, the first female mayor of San Francisco, passed away last week at the age of 90. President Biden, despite his assertion that border walls are ineffective, has given the green light for additional border wall construction in Texas. The administration, in a policy reversal, said it would bypass federal laws to facilitate the construction. Reports suggest that Donald Trump might visit Capitol Hill before the speakership election next week. Some Republicans have voiced support for Trump as the potential next House Speaker. Trump stated he'll prioritize what's best for the country, though he's primarily focused on his presidential campaign. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live, and with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Matt,
and Nikki.
And we're going to go right into the phone call since it is an open phone show. Ricky in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Miss Bonnie. Sister Nikki, Brother Matt, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Well, upon listening to last night's call that I struggled through, I heard you say, Miss Bonnie, that you had questions. Now, whatever questions they may be, no matter what they may be, I may have simple answers.
What do you mean?
Well, about concerning my call about how I was screwed out of stem cell research because I was Ricky from the Commonwealth.
I don't know. You kind of said that you didn't know the answers to
this
question.
No, I do know. I know. Oh, it was definitely that. There's no doubt about it. You know.
Well, that really sucks.
It does. It does. And I know one thing I'll answer for you. Would it have cured me? Absolutely. And now, being that I have so little cables left, and I'm totally blind, I would not be an applicant. I mean, there are that what that was at that level, 2,400, and you know, the associated side effects. That's the limits of that.
Okay, so if, like, the listeners don't know what Ricky's talking about, he called in last night to say basically because of cancel culture, he was denied access to the stem cell, like, research type.
Or not like research, a treatment, right?
Treatment, yeah.
Like an experimental treatment?
Yeah, experimental, that's what I meant. And there was this, like, private company that could have let him do it, but he said it was pretty clear after talking to the woman that told him he wasn't an applicant, that it was because of who he was, because he already was, you say, pretty vocal about your opinions and stuff like that. And, you know, that sucks. That's a terrible thing. I feel like the government's definitely to blame, because if they, you know, just approved anyone to do whatever medical stuff they wanted, and then you had to prove yourself to be a good doctor, if more people could be doing the stem cell research, you know.
But Bonnie, that would be the wild west of medicine. We would all die.
And the craziest part about that theory, though, because a lot of people, they're like, well, we need doctors and nurses to have licenses, because how else, like, we at least need a threshold of, like, you at least need to be, like, this competent to be able to practice. But I personally know people, you know, I know someone that lives in the state of Connecticut that is, you know, has her own practice that is extremely dangerous and has, you know, had several complaints filed against her for her, like, personal practice. And this person is still licensed in this. Well, I don't think they have licensure in Connecticut for this particular thing. But regardless, like, she still holds her title.
Yeah.
And that has not been removed. So it's like,
the government's not protecting anyone.
Yeah, and this person's, you know, completely dangerous, completely negligent. And she just, like, does not, is not competent in her field. But yet still, she's still practicing legally.
Could you imagine if there was just, like, competitive private credentialing services, or people
yeah.
were credentialed coming right out of the, oh, you graduated Harvard Medical School? Well, that says a lot. What yeah. medical school did you graduate? Oh, I graduated NYU Medical School. Oh.
Well, yeah, like, so yeah, like,
you know, people would be like, oh, okay, so those are, and if those schools started graduating people who didn't deserve to graduate, it would start to impact their reputation,
yeah.
and nobody would want a doctor that came from that place. Those guys
yeah.
would be getting shipped to, you know, the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, well, thank you for the call, Ricky. It is a crappy story about possible repercussions about cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
We teased at the beginning a story from AP, APnews.com. It's about this guy, a prime minister in the UK, that wants to raise the legal age to buy cigarettes in England so eventually no one can. And I was a little confused
strange.
About that.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense. I was
what,
like,
they're going to raise it to like 100?
300 years older.
Yeah.
But Ian told me, because I was on the phone with him right before the show, that Australia already did this. And basically what they did is anyone born after 2000 or something like
so
that.
So you're like grandfathered in. So if
yep.
you're already a smoker, it's fine.
And I think that might be what they're doing here. I
wonder if that has anything to do with their socialist medical system, where they're tired of paying for people with bad habits.
Maybe.
Hmm.
So I learned, so at one of the hospitals I worked at, you weren't allowed to smoke. So they actually nicotine tested me, which I didn't even know was a thing until I was applying for this job.
Yeah.
But they nicotine test everyone that is applying there. And I'm thinking, okay, well, we're nurses, whatever. It's a medical facility. It's a hospital. It's a no tobacco premises.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking, oh, they don't want nurses that are going on smoke breaks and coming to the hospital smelling like cigarettes. You know, that's what I just assumed. You know, that just made sense to me. But then I found out from someone that it was actually because of their insurance, because the insurance would have been, you know, more expensive if they were, you know, they ask you, like, how old are you? Do you smoke? Do you have any pre-existing conditions? So they were able to save money by having none of their, like, nicotine testing everybody.
Makes
and
sense.
Have,
hmm.
But
sense.
I, that's just not, like, what popped in my mind
me
at
either.
First. So, like, it doesn't make
my
sense,
next question
but
is, when are they going to start doing the body mass index thing in order upon hiring?
Yeah.
Yeah, today I went to the hospital to see my friend's baby that was just born on the 3rd, And I've noticed that sign that said this is a tobacco-free
campus.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's the same thing here in Keene. But let's get into the story. It says UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak on Wednesday proposed raising the legal age that people in England can buy cigarettes by 1 year every year until it is eventually illegal for the whole population and smoking will hopefully be phased out among young people. I don't know. It just seems so immoral to me. Like, people should be able to smoke if they want, and they should be able to buy whichever ones they want that, you know, don't have all this crap in them. And the FDA just allows, you know, like, rat feces or whatever.
Benzene.
I feel like that's the main reason why cigarettes are bad for you. It's not because of tobacco.
It's the additives, and that's why, like, the American spirits are a little bit better, or you can pretend
nicotine
they're
itself
better.
Is kind of a poison. Nicotine's an extremely powerful poison.
Say that about caffeine.
Yeah, but nicotine, like...
I'm sure it's worse.
Yeah, it's extremely... Like, the amount of nicotine that they have to put in a huge batch of tobacco is, you know, is an additive. Some of it's naturally found in the tobacco, obviously, but...
But all the other additives, though.
Yeah, it's just really, really bad stuff.
The pesticides it's sprayed with, you know, it's the same as food. Like,
I mean, they don't want that stuff to mold, right? Sitting in a pack because it's moist tobacco. It seems like it would probably mold.
Because they dry it. It's not moist.
Cigarette tobacco, is it moist? It is moist. That's the sign of, like, a dried-out cigarette's too awful.
I mean, I guess so. I don't know.
I know. I thought they dry it out, and then it can get drier.
No, they hang it to dry it. It's not like a raw leaf. You know?
I mean, either way, like, yeah, it's a disgusting habit, and you shouldn't do it, but you should still be able to.
Yeah, you should be able to if you want to.
You know?
Yeah, I tell Reitman whenever I see him, you know, 1977 called and wants his terrible habit back.
Yeah, he's not, I don't think he's doing it, actual cigarettes anymore, like, just vapes.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, no, the vapes are worse. So another quick story. At the healthcare facility I work at now, we give the patients that are there, like, designated smoke breaks. And I've noticed, like, the cigarette smokers are, like, chill, they're normal, they can just, you know, exist. But the vape smokers, since they're used to at home having access to it 24/7, I know people that vape in their sleep.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh my God.
I'm not even joking.
What?
And people, like, if they lose their vape, they absolutely freak out. They're you know, flipping things over. I know people, I've literally had several people tell me this. I don't leave the house without four of my vapes and two chargers.
Oh my God.
Because they will be hard pressed to not have it for, like, even a second. So I just, whatever is in the vapes has to be worse than cigarettes.
I agree. I've seen that before.
Cleaning it more.
And cigarette smokers are not like that. And I had a patient recently who woke up and he was, like, already, like, he was having a panic attack. And he was like, seriously, like, I need to stop vaping because, like, this isn't normal. And he was causing a scene. He was yelling at people. And, like, as he was, like, having this episode, he was also like, I'm so sorry. This isn't me. Like, it was almost like he was possessed. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
That's really weird.
It was really bad.
I started vaping a bit whenever Ian went to jail the first time. And I'm just so glad I stopped doing that because the thing that got me to stop was, like, I had a sore throat for, like, weeks. And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, I can't deal with sore throat sicknesses. That's the worst. So I'm just not vaping anymore. I stopped myself from doing it. I think it was just, like, way more... Sounds weird, but I was, like, way more stressed out the first time he went to jail. I think it's literally just, like, self growth more than...
Yeah,
it's not like this is a less stressful situation. But the other thing is, I know he's going to be gone for a fixed amount of time now. It's not like back then I was just like, will I ever see him again?
Yeah.
Like, that they were trying to keep him until trial. And then I didn't know how bad the trial was going to be. I didn't know if he was going to get a life sentence. So it's kind of more like, it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm not stressed out.
But
at
least you know you have that. And, like, that's kind of what Aria was talking about with that, like, why she was so stressed. And she was kind of like, I just can't wait to go to prison, as crazy as that sounds. Because it's that, like, hanging over your head, like the not knowing.
Yeah.
She's like, I just want this to be done and over with and I can move on with my life, you know, serve my sentence, whatever. It's kind of that. That similar sort of thing where it's like the not knowing that is really hard.
Yep. I just think it's probably worse for you because, like you're saying, people are doing it more. And then there's definitely more additives because there's all those flavors and stuff. Now, it's kind of like I smell it when somebody does it next to me and I get kind of grossed out. Like, it doesn't matter the scent.
Yeah, it's really, like, strong and artificial. And I think another thing We know what cigarettes do to us. You know, like, it's been researched. It's been studied. So you can kind of expect, like, maybe I'll get lung cancer. Maybe I'll get mouth cancer. Like, whatever. Like, yeah, it's not good. But, like, you can kind of expect what you're going to get, like, emphysema or whatever. But with the vapes, since it's such, like, a new thing, and, you know, it's a huge industry now. There's all these different kinds, and they're constantly developing new kinds and different formulas and different flavors. You don't know what that's going to do to you.
I just want to know how they make a liquid like that smell and taste like kiwi, strawberry, Snapple.
It's the same as food.
Birthday cake.
It's artificial flavorings. It's just the same as food. Like, if you're eating, like juice. Most juice is all artificial flavor. Like, that's not real.
Yeah, but it burns, though. Like, it seems like that would change the smell of it because it gets hot enough to, like, turn
more chemicals.
Into a vapor.
Just throw more, just, you know, like, just
that's not
find the right recipe, you know?
It starts to taste really bad towards the end. Like,
it's, like, burnt. Yeah, the coils,
very,
I think,
end of
burn.
It is burnt. Yeah. The other day, I was talking to Mark about actually this kind of drink, these seltzers that are flavored, and he was like, you know, they're not that good for you because you don't know what's in those flavors. I was like, yeah, I know. I tried to Google once. Just, what is this natural flavor made of that they use the bubbly, using the bubbly brand? And that's how I learned that you have no way to know what it is, because it could be anything. It could be actual grapefruit, like the flavor that I'm eating right now. It could be like grapefruit essential oil or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also be absolutely not even related to the grapefruit, and it's natural because, it came from Earth somehow.
Well, the vanilla, the artificial vanilla is like, I don't even know if I can say this on the air.
Beaver,
is it beaver
anal
or something?
Blends.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrifying. And caramel color, apparently. And,
So, like, anyways. Yes, it's natural. That's a natural flavor.
Right.
Free range organic.
But, yeah, okay. I like telling vegans that one, like, I see, that has artificial flavoring in it, and,
And Mark said he went to a food factory once, and the guy said, and this is where we make all the food chemicals, and he was just like, what is that? And he was just like, just a ton of different chemicals. There's like a lot. Like, it's food chemicals. What do you mean, dude? Like...
Yeah.
Not all chemicals are bad. Water is a
That's
chemical.
True.
You know?
Yeah, everything is, right?
But, you know, I highly doubt the chemicals they're putting in flavorings are all,
like,
yum,
just totally
and
fine
good
for you.
Not going to give
you
cancer.
Well, and it's like you might as well just eat natural, real, whole foods.
Why not?
Especially since they don't have to tell you what they're putting in it. And the other thing I heard, speaking of the vegans, I don't really know if this is true, but somebody said that in New York City they use these little microbe animals, like tiny, tiny shrimp or something like that, to clean the water. So you're always eating them.
That's not vegan.
Yeah, so is the water in New York City just not vegan?
This is the thing, too, and I think they made a joke about this on The Simpsons when Lisa became a vegetarian, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're a level 800 vegetarian, and you can't eat anything that's even been in the shadow of an animal.
Hmm.
But it's kind of like that. It's like, where does it end? Because we... Probiotics, I mean, microorganisms, anything you eat is going to have something that is alive on it. So it's like, where do you kind of draw the line? Obviously, like, a bacteria, like, you can't really compare that to an animal, like, if you're talking about ethics.
And I hate to break it to vegans, but anybody who's ever actually worked on farms and done a harvest, you know how many baby deer and rabbits and stuff get nailed by the combine on the way through? Like, okay, all your natural soybean based
or
stuff,
bugs,
getting bugs,
rats,
turtles. I mean, you know how much, like, there's all kinds of stuff in a cornfield, and you ain't stopping for it because you can't see it. There's 8 feet of corn in front of your face, and you're just plowing through that. And mama bear's in there with baby bear, and they're all getting shredded up and thrown into tank with the
Peter
rest of
Cottontail.
Them. Yeah, tons of those. Tons of those. Nothing is vegan. Stop already.
Well, we're just talking about all of this food-related stuff because we're talking about cigarettes and whether or not it's, you know, good for you to smoke cigarettes. Personally, I don't think any of us think it's good to smoke cigarettes, but you should be allowed to do it if you want. In
for
the
sure.
UK, this guy, Rishi Sunak, a prime minister in the UK, actually, is proposing that the legal age be raised every year by 1 year so that eventually it will be phased out. And I am wondering about, does this include vapes? It just says cigarettes.
Yeah, it's just so dumb, though, because it's like, this is like totally bureaucracy. It's like, if you want to outlaw it, just outlaw it or be like, you know, the fact that they have to do this crazy stuff.
Scheme.
Well, they
it's weird.
They got to take the long way around everything, or they'll just look like the public perception. There'd be bad optics. Everybody would actually realize, like tons more people would realize that they're just despots.
Well, I mean, if they banned cigarettes right now for, like, everybody, that was a small... I mean, that is, like... So I've heard several people, actually, that were addicted to hard drugs, like heroin, fentanyl, meth, crack, like, whatever, hard drug, you know, insert hard drug here. They said that cigarettes was way harder to...
I've heard that
before. It's, like, way more addictive, and I don't know if it's, you know, just because it's... It's legal, and it's not really, like, mind-altering, I guess, and you don't, like, oh, it's just not as bad. And,
a cigarette addiction is, like, a cigarette is such a passive thing. It's this little thing that you hold in your fingers. You know, it's just
there. You
can't eat
without it.
It doesn't weigh anything. It's, you know, it's very, you know, nothing to look at. It's not, you know, but then you just, it makes you feel calm and takes the edge off, and you just kind of light one up without thinking about it.
That habit, right? It's like breathing air. So you wake up in the morning, you smoke a cigarette, eat breakfast. After that, you smoke it. Like, it's like people have to. And if you're like a half pack a day smoker, I mean, that's like a lot of smoke breaks throughout the day and kind of breaking that habit and that, like, constant rush of nicotine in your brain. I mean, it's really difficult.
Yeah, I remember when I was little, I'll never forget when they banned, and there was a stink about it, they banned TV commercials for cigarettes. You couldn't have I remember it. But you two captains over there nodding his head. And there was a stink about it. It was a big deal. And then people were worried that they were going to make them take Skoll off the race cars and Marlboro off the race cars, which...
I mean...
Did they do?
Well, no, I think they're still racing. The Marlboro cars are still going strong. But what's interesting to me is that this war against big tobacco has been going on for a long time. And a lot of people have... quit tobacco.
Yeah.
And I'm all for that. You should quit tobacco. But what I'm curious about is how a pack of smokes is still fairly cheap. With
cheap, it's $15 a pack.
If you think about inflation wise, though,
so.
It's
right.
Really, really, really cheap because when
like
they're
10
turning
cents
out
a pack.
Yeah,
what
I'm saying is when they're turning out billions and billions and billions of packs, because every the doctor that's delivering your wife's child is smoking a cigarette while he's delivering.
Yeah.
So, you know, that back in those days, the amount of cigarettes that were being turned out was. And just enormous.
Yeah.
So now that hardly anybody smokes anymore, I can't believe they can get them to market for less than $15 a pack. Or, you know,
that's
surprisingly
a good point.
Cheap.
There's like, I used to work at the Mighty Moose Mart here in Keene, and there was a brand called Crowns that all of the poorest people.
Yeah, they're like the cheap nasty
the floor sweeping.
Yeah. They're like $4.50.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
That shocked me. But
well, and like cigarettes are pretty cheap in New Hampshire because we don't have as much tax.
Yeah, but the Marlboros are still, like you said, like almost $15.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, like you, like how Matt was just talking about how they, like, banned the cigarette commercials in the 80s. It's just kind of funny because, like, what, 15 years before that, you know, or maybe more, but they had the advertisements. Oh, Camels, it's, you know, the doctor's recommended cigarette. You know, it's like, that was so normal. Like, yeah, like... Doctors were smoking cigarettes in the hospitals, and people are smoking on airplanes.
It'd
like, it was
cool.
Just so normalized, like, even in the 70s. I mean, like, that was normal to just constantly be smoking a cigarette. Like, ashtrays everywhere, all the white walls were yellow. Like, that was just the norm.
Yep, now it's definitely vapes. And even though there aren't vape cigarettes, even though there aren't vape commercials, I still basically see vape commercials all the time. With the amount of, like, influencers and pop stars and people like that talk about it in their songs and then just vape them on the internet all the time.
Yeah, I mean, like, just go to high school. I mean, that's, like, a vape commercial right there.
From
math class.
A Subaru meetup.
Yeah, no kidding.
There was this picture that went viral on Twitter, and it was this huge, like, trash bag full of vapes, or at least, like, a Walmart bag, full of all different vapes of shapes and sizes and colors. And it said, my friend is an elementary school teacher in South California. This is just what they confiscated the other day or the other week or something like that. And it was
elementary school.
Yes, elementary school.
Where are they getting the money? Where are they getting those?
Maybe they're just taking them from their older siblings.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I wouldn't have even thought of something like that when I was like in fifth grade. And that's like the oldest you could be in elementary school.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Or not really funny. But
it's pretty terrible, honestly. Yeah.
I really hate being out in public, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my god, grapefruit, lemon, limeade.
Yeah, it's almost like an assault.
Yeah, I feel like
right?
I'm smelling
like
your
breath. I don't want to inhale that. Also, like the whatever chemical is in that, yeah. I don't want
that. And also, like I know this has been in your mouth. It's like you just spit on me.
Yeah. Wear a mask right while you lungs. Do that. Jeez.
Yeah, like it's so the clouds are obnoxious.
Yeah.
Really
huge ones, yeah.
And it's like vape. People like pride themselves on their cloud, and it's like, what?
Yeah, loser.
Get that.
I'm glad that is a little bit. It's not that bad anymore. Cause
yeah, now
it's with the battery packs,
the box mods, I think they call them.
Yes, those whole big things.
Yeah, now it's more just about the addiction.
Yeah,
the way it should be, you know. Yeah,
keep it pure.
Yeah,
it has the little. They have the little. Disposable ones now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still don't know if this law is applying to vapes.
It doesn't sound like it is.
It says, setting out his plan at the annual Conservative Party conference, Sunak said he wanted to stop teenagers taking up cigarettes in the first place. It is currently illegal for anyone to sell cigarettes or tobacco products to people under 18 years old throughout the UK. And that's all it says about it. It says, Sunak's office said the incremental changes would stop children who turn 14 this year and those younger than that from ever legally being sold cigarettes in England. And
I'm thinking this has got to have something to do. Their social health care scam is probably going belly up for lack of money.
Yeah,
they're probably going to try to make old people die faster and get young people not to get sick in the first place. So
for a while.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but maybe a few weeks ago we did a story on a Wednesday night show about how, or maybe it was Sunday, well, it doesn't matter what day it was, but about how the UK national healthcare system, I think is what they call it, is failing.
Because
a bunch of doctors are protesting, and you know I've been seeing stuff online about doctors and nurses striking, and they just—I mean—the whole system is failing, and like it can't be like healthcare. The state of healthcare in the United States is pretty bad. Lots of doctors and nurses striking here as well.
Yeah, just
but it can't be—it can't be as bad as it is in the UK. And I've even heard some bad stuff about Canada too.
For sure, there's tons of bad stuff to talk about Canada's system.
Well, it makes sense. It's anytime you want other people to pay for the worst of society's worst habits and fattest people and sickest people and just expect it to go on forever, I think that Ponzi scheme is going to be over soon. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man aged 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man aged 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.